Welcome to The Glider Show, the audio podcast about learning to fly gliders. I'm your host, Sam, and you're invited to follow me on my journey from altimeter addict to seat-of-the-pants solo glider pilot. The lessons are coming thick and fast at the moment, and I think that I'll soon be into the practice cable break part of the syllabus. And once you're there, you know you're in trouble, because after that, it won't be long before I arrive at the day when the instructor steps away from the aircraft and says, "Off you go then." Now, so much happened this weekend that I really had a struggle to decide which flight audio to play you, as all four of the flights I had, plus a cable break, served up very interesting lessons and testing situations. But ruthless editor that I am, I managed it. Well, I didn't actually. But in this show, I'll be watching the local scout group getting excited about gliding and helping out around the club. I'll be learning yet another common sense lesson, delivered this time in a kind and considerate way from an old hand. I'll experience my second real cable break and find out just how long my instructor thinks is a long time to react. I'll be getting some negative G and a grunge shower into the bargain, flying by eye with the altimeter taped over, finding myself in an awkward situation and experiencing the thrill of landing long downwind. Phew. But first, the news. There's an Aero Expo event at Sywell Airfield in Northamptonshire coming up on the 31st of May to the 2nd of June this year. This event calls itself the UK's Festival of Aviation, so you can find it at www.expo.aero/UK/. And I note that the British Gliding Association will be there. They appear to be the only representative for gliding out of 168 aviation exhibitors. Sounds like we need to do something to redress that balance in the coming years. Yes, I messed up in the notes for the last show. I incorrectly labelled the picture of the motor glider flown by Patrick Pulis at Adelaide Soaring Club as a Grob 103, when, as any idiot knows, it is in fact a Grob 109. Update on the glider diet weight loss program, TM, copyright. Yes, I've lost 1 stone and 2 pounds since I started back in whenever it was. I suddenly became frightened that I was in danger of being too heavy to fly. I think it was back in October. Anyway, since I focused a little bit on losing some weight and decided to put my secret revolutionary weight loss system into operation, I've lost, 16 pounds. So I'm now comfortably under the limit, but still got quite a way to go before I'll need the lead weights as ballast. Now, does your club need an extra 300 quid? Whose doesn't? Well, you'd be interested to know that the Mars Milk Fund at www.marsmilk.com/fund/register is a funding program that promises to give away 4 times £300 every week between now and October 2013 to sports clubs. And all you have to do is go to that web address, register, tell them about your sport and explain why it could really use the £300. Now, there's no guarantee of getting it, but 4 of those a month, it's well worth a try. Well, I'm here at the gliding club and it's 8 o'clock on a Saturday morning. That's an unusual day of the week for me. But even more unusual is the fact that I'm standing here and I'm not cold. And the sun is shining brightly and I've got dark glasses on. Should be on for a good day.
We want to be able to turn final, engage the brakes, and now we'll find out, won't we? So fairly soon, once we've got the wings level, open the brakes to about halfway and have a look. If you're under shooting, you think, okay. I'll close them again, deliberately fly towards, because you'll be absolutely fine. I'll fly towards the reference area and the angle's going to get steeper.
That was the benefit for me of slowing down. I actually got to do that in a sequence, which I'd never been able to do, because I've been kind of panicking and rushing. So.
Yeah. Well, and they do say, you know, if you want to do a nice landing, do a good approach. Yeah. Oh, if you want to do a good approach, do a decent circuit.
Yeah. Yeah,
if you screw up the circuit, you'll screw up the landing.
Yeah.
Fair chance.
Yeah. My problem, and I've learned this already now, my problem is trying to over-conceptualise what you've just told me about the angles. And I have this thing that says I've got to work it all out before I do it. And actually, I need to work it out by doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I shut my brain off now.
Yeah. Mm. Okay. So now, so we come right back to the beginning. Because what I want the fights to be is unprompted, but I want you to learn. Right. So I don't mind you screwing up.
Yes. You love quads, do you? You're going to have one when you grow up.
Yeah. My brother's got one.
Has he? How old's
your
brother?
He lets me go on it. He's 12.
Do you wear a crash helmet when you're on it?
Once he went up a hill, it was quite steep. He rolled down, put his brake on, both wheels went up. He fell off.
Yeah, I've seen people come to a lot of harm doing that on quads.
Just push then, boys.
Yeah, the young lads, he knows what to do, right? I think he can. Ready?
You've got to go and push it.
You've got to push now, you suggested it.
No.
Well, your idea. No.
Come on.
No.
Oh, leave an old man like me to try it.
Yeah.
Oh, you're not in gear, right? Oh, I don't want to be in gear yet.
Okay.
Bit of speed on before you run it in gear, like now. Okay.
You're in a thermal, you just go around the circle as you go up.
Not that slow, am I?
No, you didn't. Remember, you haven't flown a circle yet. If you fly a circle, you must get back to the lift you started in.
I want to fly a straight there out.
Now be straight up there, probably. Okay, round we go. And the angler bank's coming off. So if you want to fly, so what's happening is you're actually flying in the air, something like a figure six. It's not a circle. And consequently losing the just relax for a moment, I have control, just go off towards the other one a bit. So first thing, notice that the attitude here is steady. For me, that yaw string, the sellotape, is actually rolling around the horizon pretty well. So there's a reasonable attitude. Can you just feel that slight trembling on the stick? We're just approaching the stall buffet, so it's probably quite slow enough. It might be that we just turn the wrong way. Notice when it's wrong I say we, and if it's right I'll say
I'll edit that out for I.
Okay, so what I'd like to do is show you a steep stall and recovery, and then get you to repeat it.
Okay.
Okay. So there's the other glider. Just want to keep out his way as best we can. It looks like the lift's this way, so we'll. So height, we have sufficient for this exercise. Airframe. 81 knots VA, VNE is 108.
Strats are secure. I've still got him in view. We will steadily move out of his firing line. And security, no loose items as before. Location, upwind and off to one side of the airfield. Going to conduct some clearing turns, so clear to the right. The other glider's off to our left. And clearing to the left. Okay, I'm going to raise the nose significantly higher than normal. And the nose goes down. Yeah. I must move the stick into the central position, regain flying speed, and then return to the normal attitude.
Just at centre?
Yeah, well, I don't have to keep pushing it forward, because I don't want to get overly steep on the recovery, and the aircraft's nose is already going down. What I mustn't do is try to stop it going down,
yeah.
If that makes any sense. Yeah. Okay, so rolling the wings level, you have control. The other gliders to your left and not any conflict, so let's steep stall and recovery.
Centre of the stick and down
to go
is naturally
on
front.
Yeah. Good. Leave the circuit plan to you. Can I suggest that you do it on this side? Because you're going to lose more height getting over there, aren't you? So, Now look at your altimeter. See, you know, we're steadily actually painting ourselves into a corner. Yeah. Okay, any other aircraft? How about straight ahead? Straight ahead. Straight ahead. Above the horizon. And where's he going? So where are we going to go? But what if he lands short? You're going to have to land in time? Right, so it's about thinking ahead, isn't it? Okay, so I would make your turn soon so you can monitor what he's doing, and because you're either going to have to land beyond him or before him. More complicated situation, isn't it? So now we can start deciding where we're going to go.
Right over the top of the truck.
Oh, where the f*** is that truck going? There will be a delay because the... Do you see the truck turning?
Yes, that's right. I kind of knew I'd clear it, though.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But he's probably crossed the cables.
Is he trying to get out of my way?
Yeah, he shouldn't have done, that. It's better. We know that the cable retrieve truck is going to...
Yeah, it's better for him to stay constant.
Yeah. If he does something odd, like cut across in front of us... And it makes it more complicated for us.
Okay. So.
Okay. Good. So that was a circuit where actually it was starting to get complicated,
yeah.
Because there was another aircraft in circuit not spotted by you, not good, and he was higher than we were, and we had more of a circuit to fly than he did. So he can very easily become quite an issue for us. If we spot something like that in good time, we may actually make a completely alternative arrangement.
Which was turn in front of him and land in the...
Yeah, Yeah, and land further up the field. So we that is one option we might have considered. But then we got two. There's only the two aircraft, and the airfield's quite wide. If he lands on one side, then we could opt to take the other side. Or if we're going to land on the same side as him, we have to think, well, where are we going to go? Beyond him or short of him? It's never really very good to have an obstruction on your landing line, because you might hit it. It can be very, very difficult to judge. So what I do is I look at my extended landing line, and if it conflicts with something else, I'm starting to get worried. OK, so we had two choices, didn't we? We could land over the top of the other glider that was deeper into the field, or land on the right.
So, Mr. Wellington, how was your cable break?
What was it like?
It was exciting. It was useful. Very exciting. Yeah, good training opportunity.
I'm just going to go and chat.
Yes, yes. Never wants to be on the podcast, that man. But yeah, what was it like? Because I think I've had one similar to that. But
well, so far this should have been my seventh flight, and with Don, I've now had an aborted launch because of the wing dip, and now a genuine cable break. So yeah, I'm getting a good training education.
So that's two out of seven knocked on the head.
Yeah. Yeah,
you're getting the advanced course, the advanced syllabus. Yeah.
Yeah.
I had a wing drop as well. That was
He pulled the cable and released.
Yeah. How long ago was that?
That was only a couple of weeks. It's only my seventh flight. Right.
That's a couple of weeks, literally.
Yes.
So that was that with a crosswind.
No, possibly not enough speed.
Right.
But it was, I mean, this was a genuine, I think that, because I was looking at the speed, and it went over 70 knots, and at that point, I think it was the weak link just snapped.
Okay.
And yeah, standard recovery procedure, but further, it was more severe than I expected.
Right.
So putting the nose down to regain the speed. You really do.
You felt the G's.
The mud flew up from the bottom of the canopy and landed on my lap.
It's not a subtle manoeuvre, is it?
No, it was good. I say very, very useful. Not part of the training today. I was meant to be just doing trim controls and just keeping it straight and level. So,
at the worst of times to break, because you ended up at the back of a queue, didn't it?
Back of the queue and back of the. Well, I've never seen the back of the airfield yet either. So, that was useful. You know, and I've now.
I've now paced
the entire airfield.
Okay, so on the ground there's the parachute from the first cable. We'll just turn around here. Spectators to watch you in action.
Different people have got different ideas. It was suggested to me once to park the retrieve behind, in case they get a cable break, and he's short of space, and he comes down, and he's still trying to get past here.
True.
So you increase the amount of room for the gliders in case they have to do a straight landing.
So park directly behind.
Just to minimise the target here and give the glider pilot. Seems to make sense to me, so that's what I intended to do.
Okay. Do you want me to?
But, you know, it's different people have different ideas.
Okay, in which case, I'll spin around there now. So I just learned something, you see. So, sometimes when the cable breaks, you saw that cable break earlier on, and the glider pilot can't land down at the far end, he has to land somewhere down here. Steve was saying, just in case that happens, it's better that I put this vehicle directly behind him. There's quite a few, So this one's steep as well. So he said, if I put this here, then if the cable breaks again, then the glider's still got room either side and I'm not in their way. So that's a fair point.
Well, we'd have to see
that. You'll get to see the cable go up and the glider go up above this truck. But we'll stay in because it's safer. If you walk around here and the cable was to break, there's a chance it might come ping back.
Okay, I have control. lowering the nose, achieving 55 knots, opening the brakes, and landing ahead. Sorry, I was half asleep then. I was like, hang on, we've just had a cable break. Why should I do that?
I got to see the famous dirt flying.
Yeah. Positively lowering the nose to the recovery attitude. Just play it back to you as it was. Yeah. Then it took a moment or two to get the speed, didn't it? And we can't do anything until we've got the speed. Yeah. Even though from that position it's fairly obvious we're going to land ahead. Yeah. We have to wait for the speed. Once we've got the speed, then we can open the air brakes because we can decide what to do and then land ahead in a normal way. So it's no big drama, especially if the instructor stays awake. That really did catch me because I thought I was away with the fairies then. I thought, hang on, that sounded like a cable break. Oh, bollocks, I said I'd do these. Right, OK, so but actually quite not an un... it's quite a useful thing to happen because if you haven't... I don't know if you've had a cable break.
I've not had one with that severity of...
Now, as you heard, Don made quite a big deal about what he said was his slow reaction to that cable break. And that struck me as a bit odd because it didn't seem slow to me. So I thought I would use my sound editing software to visually dissect the event and find out just how long it actually took for him to react. But I can tell you that at 0 seconds at the start of the event, we hear a thump, and that's the cable break. At plus 0.5 of a second, half a second later, we hear the clack of Don pulling the cable release to make sure the cable is free of the aircraft. At a massive 1.5 seconds after the initial thump, we have Don saying clearly, I have control. 3 seconds after the cable break, we have Don saying, lowering the nose. At 4.6 seconds, Don says, achieving 55 knots. 6.75 seconds, Don is opening the air brakes. And 13 seconds after the cable brake sound, we hear the sound of the wheels touching down. His reaction time is no more than half a second. If Don thinks half a second is slow, I'm in trouble. In this show, I'm making sense of the angle to the field. In my flying this weekend, I had to really think about the circuit, and in particular, the distance from the field as I joined the circuit for my downwind leg. Twice, I was too close, and the angle down to the field was too steep, according to my instructor. Of course, he told me this after landing, and I found it really difficult to make sense of how being too close translated into what had just happened. This can be pretty hard to do when you're learning, because at this stage, everything still seems to happen a bit too fast to process. What I can tell you is that on my first flight, the too close ended up with me landing long. Now, the thing to remember is that at the high key part of the circuit, you need to be at the right distance for your height from the center line of the runway. This distance will, of course, vary depending on your height and is arrived at by flying the aircraft towards or away from the field until the angle down to the runway is approximately the correct 30 degrees. Now, the higher you are, the further away from the airfield you'll have to be to achieve the same 30 degrees down to the airfield. The lower you are, the nearer to the airfield you'll have to be. To sum up then, using the angle as your guide in the circuit ensures that you are the right distance from the field to lose whatever height you start your final with. And that's why Don focused entirely on the angle and not the distance or the height. The only reason for talking about heights at all is to state the minimum for a safe turn onto final and work backwards from there to know the minimums for each part of the circuit. Given that the absolute minimum for the final turn is 300 feet, then it follows that the minimum safe low-key height on a full normal circuit would be, let's say, 500 feet, and the minimum safe high-key height for a full normal circuit would be, let's say, 800 feet. Of course, if it ever looks like you're in danger of arriving at the low-key point on the circuit at less than that 500 feet, then you know already that you're going to have to carry out a truncated circuit and turn in early. And if, like my last deliberately set-up flight, you arrive back at the field anywhere near your low-key height, then your options narrow even further to the point of leaving you no safe option but to land downwind, as I did. I like the blunt logic at work in all of this. At 300 feet, you're on final whether you like it or not. The aim of the game in circuit planning is to ensure that it's you who decides where in space that point occurs, ideally at an airfield or an appropriate field, and to set yourself up in order to get down to that point safely. In our comms this week, I'd like to say hello to a few new Twitter followers. I'd like to welcome @TakeoffTrust. That's the Takeoff Trust in Scotland, helps people to get into the air and to learn to glide. Also to @TZC1935, and it's a Dutch club, and I probably sound really stupid trying to pronounce this. It's Twentsche Zweeflieg Club. Sorry about that, guys, for the awful pronunciation. Also @OGrasshopper, Richard Christopher, welcome. And also @MustardSeedMCDA, and that's Mustard Seed Media. Got another email this week from our correspondent down in Adelaide, sunny Adelaide, Patrick. Patrick says, "Hey Sam, I haven't listened to your latest podcast. I think I just stopped reading there. But I noticed on your website that I'm now infamous." You certainly are, sir. Patrick says, "We're off to saw the Black Springs Ridge in June, so I'll let you know what that's like. On 2nd of May, the Adelaide Soaring Club is doing a dual aero tow day, which is where two gliders get towed up simultaneously, so I'll let you know how that goes too. Last weekend was just amazing. We thought that the season had ended. However, we had temperatures of a balmy 29, balmy compared to 45 degrees, mate. Rubbing it in from sunny South Australia, and lovely cumulus cloud streets with 8 knots of lift up to 8,000 feet. I used the lovely sunshine," he's really going for it, isn't he? "I used the lovely sunshine to take my lovely personal trainer, Roz, for a flight in the DG505 two-seater, and I also flew three budding ATPL pilots from Hong Kong who are flying with scholarships with Dragonair and Cathay Pacific. To put you at ease, Sam, they found gliding challenging. Flying a glider is a far cry from an Airbus A320 or A330. So when are you coming down under, Sam? Book yourself a cheapy flight and come and spend Christmas and New Year with us. I'm saving my pennies, mate. Take care. Keep on plugging away." Well, I am. And warm regards also to you, Pat, down in sunny South Australia. And that's all for this episode of The Glider Show. It was such a full day of learning this weekend that I'm going to post up an additional episode of The Glider Show featuring nothing but my first flight of the day, 20 minutes of soaring, mainly though so you can hear how my expert CFI instructor guided me around the sky in search of a bit of lift. You might even hear me gasping as a buzzard flies overhead, going in the opposite direction though, I might add. Thank you for spending the last 30 minutes in my company. As always, it's great fun to capture the sounds of my journey to becoming a solo glider pilot and to be able to share my experiences and thoughts with you wherever you are in the world through this brilliant medium called podcasting. As ever, I'd like you to be part of the show and I'd love to hear some of your adventures. This could be the sounds of you learning to fly the moment you go solo, or your adventures in the wide open skies as a qualified pilot. Just grab your smartphone or an MP3 recorder and record something and email it to me at ukglider@hotmail.com. Don't forget, you can also tweet me @ukglider or check the take part page on the ukglider.com website for other ways to get in touch. Music for the show was provided once again by our old friend Finn, master of the slide guitar. I'm Sam Deeks and you've been listening to The Glider Show. Until next time, fly safe.